Now I think we're ready, Brother McFadden. Sorry about that. Thought me and this lapel was going to get in a fist fight up here trying to get that thing operating. But thank you again for being here tonight, church. It's always a joy to see you on Wednesday night. You know, some may say, well, I don't need the fellowship of Wednesday night. That's not really true. I think we all do. I think we all need to meet together. And as I mentioned a while ago, encouraging one another in the Lord. And we come to church. We come to not only be a part of the service and fellowship, but also to hear some preaching and teaching and singing and just participate. And I hope that you participate in the whole worship service every time that you come to church tonight. I want you to take your Bible, turn to two passages of Scripture. One will be very familiar to you, Philippians 4:13. The other is Proverbs 24:10. Philippians 4:13, we'll get there in just a moment. Proverbs 24:10. In time of preparation for tonight, I have chosen for our subject, I believe by God's will, the subject of God's strengthen and conditioning program. And that's what I want to preach to you about tonight, about the strength and conditioning program of God. So find your place, Philippians 4:13. Once you find your place there, turn, if you would, to Proverbs 24:10. Once you find those two, you can stand with me. We're going to read these two verses, and then we'll jump right on into what God has for us tonight. Proverbs 24 and verse number 10. I'm going to begin reading there, if you'll mark your place in your Bible, and then we'll go to our New Testament passage tonight. Proverbs 24:10 reads this way in your King James Bible. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is, what's the next word? Okay, I want you to underline that last phrase, thy strength is small. The connection here is failing because of your strength that is small. That's the context of that verse. Now, you got to understand, this was written by the wisest man in the world. No one anticipated him to fall. No one anticipated for him to be where he was at the end of his life in his day of adversity, but he did, didn't he? And there's a reason that Solomon ended up that way. And can I say to you tonight, you'll end up that way too if you're not careful. You can be drawn away by the lust of the flesh as well. And he says again, if thou faint in the day of adversity, that's your day, that's the time that opposes success or your desires. That's an event, whatever takes place that opposes the success or desires of your life. He says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. And then if you'll go and look at Philippians 4:13, many of you will already recognize it. Paul says, I can do how many things? You need to circle that word. I can do all things through Christ, which, next word please. Okay. Now, the connection here is this. That is a true verse, and we believe that to be a promise from God, do we not? Now, if that's a promise from God, there's some conditions that have to be met for the strengthening process to take place. See, we like to claim that verse, oh, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And the truth and the promise of that verse is true. But whether you want to condition yourself to meet that verse and meet that promise is strictly up to you and I. Because you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And then Solomon says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. The connection between the two verses is a relationship with Christ, is it not? If that is weak in your day of adversity or an event that you will face in your life that opposes the success or your plans or your desires, he said, you will fail in that day if your strength is small. And if that relationship with Christ is not there. And I want to talk to you about God's strength and conditioning program. And I'm going to lay it out very simply for you tonight in the Bible. Let's pray together. Lord, we're so grateful to be in the house of God tonight. We look forward to what you're going to do. Speak to our hearts. We want to hear something from heaven tonight. We want to hear something and be taught something from the Bible. And so that when we leave this place, that we can leave this place with something in our hands or something in our hearts that we can go home and apply to our Christian life, that we might be well-pleasing unto Thee. Father, show Yourself mighty. Fill this room with Your Holy Ghost, we pray tonight, and speak to every heart here, and we'll certainly give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. Most professional athletic teams have on their staff what is called a strength and conditioning coach. Now, this guy's total purpose is very narrow. His purpose to the team is to prepare those who are members of that team for the grind of that long season. Can you imagine playing on a professional baseball team playing 162 games a year? See, the thing about it is we look at these professional football teams, they play 16, and I guess they go to the Super Bowl, they play 18 or 19. Man, boy, that's about 162 games a year. You know what? You better be conditioned for that, particularly if you're going to play in Texas and you're going to play in 100-degree heat. But they have a coach, and what his sole job is to prepare the players for the grind of the season. His whole job is not only to prepare them physically, but also to prepare them mentally. Now, you know what he does? In order the conditioning process for him, he'll put them on a strict diet. They got to lay off the sugars and stuff. And for most of us, that'd be difficult, wouldn't it? Now, they've got to lay off of certain things. There's certain things they can't eat. Why? Because it will hinder the conditioning process, the strengthening process that they're going to need for the grind of the season, for the endurance of the heat and for the contact and for the up and down, the running and all that they do. They have to be on a strict diet. So he'll put them on a strict or proper diet. The second thing he will do is he'll put them through a proper exercise course, running so many miles a day or doing certain type of calisthenics and stuff. He will put them on a proper exercise system. Then the third thing he will do is he will put them through a proper weightlifting system as well. Now, all three of these work together as far as conditioning. Now, I remember playing athletics in high school and stuff, and nobody liked to practice two times a day. Nobody liked to get out there in the heat and run till your tongue's hanging on the ground, and you're begging for mercy while the coach laughs at you where you throw your guts up. Now, what I'm saying is, you know what they're trying to do? They're not trying to hurt them. They're trying to condition them. Because it's going to come a day in the season, they're going to thank God for the strength and conditioning that they were put under during the summertime, during the hot August sun. You see, the team depends on his coaching and, listen now, the players' participation. Now, I played with guys that we went through the strength and conditioning tour, and they fudged on everything. On their reps, they'd fudge on that. On their eating, on the proper diet, they'd fudge on that. Speaking of fudge, some of them would fudge, you know. But they would cheat, Brother John, on their conditioning. And it'd be the same guys that, listen, they wouldn't make it through a half of the game that first, because listen, in Mississippi, not only was there a heat the first game, played right up at the first, either sometimes the end of August, the first of September, there wasn't just heat, brother, there was humidity. And brother, they wouldn't even make it through half the game. They'd be dying. Take me out. Face would be red as a beet. But you know what? I knew who those guys were. Those are the guys that cheated. Those are the guys that wouldn't run. Those are the guys that, oh, I got a bellyache. I got to go in. You know why? I'm trying to get out of the strength and conditioning program. See, that was the problem. And they never seemed to make it. But it takes the coaching and the participation of the players in order for it to all work together. Now, if either stop, listen to me, if either stop, if the coaching stops or the participation stops, then I promise you it assures certain failure in adversity. Certain failure. Because the strength and conditioning is not there. Now, in order to assure that all players' potential of making it through the season was there to try to keep them from injury, by the way, that's why they stretched. That's why they went through the calisthenics to stretch, to prevent pulling muscles. A lot of people in the Christian life, they don't want to go through the calisthenics. They don't want to go through the strength and conditioning program. You know what they want? They just want to go and fly by the cuff. That's the people that don't make it. That's the people that never made the team, Brother John. That's the people that said, I quit. You know how many guys I've seen throw their helmet down, throw their pads down, say, I quit. And I just waved and said, just one more less that I've got to make the cut with. Adios, partner. But you know why they quit? They couldn't handle the conditioning. And if they couldn't handle it then, they weren't going to handle it during the season. If they couldn't handle the strength and conditioning program in their day of adversity, they were not going to stand. They were going to fall. The interesting thing about the strength and conditioning programs is this, is the team seemed to provide everything. First of all, they provided the means. They provided a purpose. They provided the uniform. They provided games. All these, they provided the means for strength and conditioning. They provided the coach for strength and conditioning. They provided a guy that knew how to get it done. And then they provided the facilities to do it in. They had weight rooms. They had indoor tracks. They had indoor swimming pools. All of these things were provided. The means, the coach, and the facilities all provided for the conditioning program to take place. Everything provided for the player to succeed in the program. The key was he had to have the desire to participate. Because if he didn't participate, what good is a strength and conditioning coach? If they're not going to participate, his survival on the team was in jeopardy. Now I want you to listen very carefully. When a believer says that he has no strength to continue on in his service for Christ, what he's announcing to the whole world is that his strength is small. What he's announcing to the whole world is that his strength and conditioning program for the Christian life, he's been cheating on. You see. And he's been cheating on the program, and when his day of adversity comes, or when that event comes that opposes success or opposes his desires, he fails in that day. Because he's been fudging on the strength and conditioning, see? So when his day of adversity, you know what he did? He failed. It's certain to happen. I've seen it happen too many times, not just in the secular world, but in the Christian world and the Christian life as well. Now, folks, listen to me. Adversity is a guarantee in the Christian life. It's not if it will happen, it's when it will happen. You see, the reason I know that it's a guarantee in the Christian life is because there's sin, self, and Satan. And all three of those bring with them adversity. Opposition to your success. Opposition to your desires. And so I know adversity is going to come. So you know what I need to do? Need to be prepared for it. I need to have a source of strength. I need to condition for it. I'm here to tell you it's not just if it's going to happen, it's when it's going to happen in your life. And the amazing thing, adversity comes in all shapes, forms, and fashions. You see, some comes in family adversities. See, some comes with a broken marriage. Some comes with hindrances in a relationship between a husband and wife. And in that day of adversity, by the way, you know what these adversities do? What they are, they're strength killers. And what they do is they zap the Christian from their strength, see? Because they no longer put their attention on serving Christ or having a personal relationship with Christ. They have to put it on what's going on, that adversity going right there, and try to get themselves out of it, see? And it's strength killers. And some forms of adversity come in family, marriages, broken marriages, marriage troubles, whatever it may be. Some come in the form, adversity, family adversity comes in the form of child rearing. Some that raise their children don't go the direction that the parents... And by the way, can I say something to you? Time out right here. Did y'all go and read Proverbs 22:6? Do you know the Bible says that we're to train up a child in the way he should go? It didn't say he would go. It said you train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And listen, I meet parents all the time. They train their kids, love their kids, gave their kids direction. Kid decided not to follow it. And you know what? The parents sent up the white flag and they're discouraged, they're depressed, they're disappointed. Their service for God is not what it needs to be. Listen to me. Your job was to prepare them in the way they should go. Did you prepare them where they should go? If that is, you have nothing to be concerned about. You did your job. I'm not going to answer for all five of my kids. I'm going to answer, did I prepare them the way they should have gone? They're going to have to answer whether they did go that direction or not. Now, all I'm saying to you tonight, dear folks, is adversity comes in all shapes, forms, and fashions. It comes in marriage adversity. It comes in adversity with the kids. It comes in illnesses. It comes in situations where someone is faced with a
chronic illness, maybe a terminal illness. You know what? That's an adversity. That is an event that opposes success. Sometimes illness is going to come. It's going to come by way of adversity. Sometimes there's a death in the home, the family. Maybe a family member passes away suddenly or is killed in a tragic accident. How that family, how that husband, that wife, those kids, those relatives respond to that will determine and be based on their strength and conditioning for that day of adversity. And if they fail in the day of adversity, their strength was what? Small. That means that they fudged on the strength and conditioning program. Now listen, folks, I haven't been in each one of these family adversity situations, but I have been in some of them. And I promise you, it will come. They're strength killers. So adversity sometimes comes in the shape and the form of family adversity. Number two, sometimes it comes in financial adversity. Sometimes people get their home has a foreclosure on it. You say, but that's my castle. That's the place for my kids to live. And all of a sudden, foreclosure comes. Sometimes financial adversity. Sometimes a loss of job. Sometimes a loss of income. Sometimes being in a situation on a job where things aren't going like they ought to be. You know what? Those sometimes financial adversities come. Sometimes bankruptcy comes. Now, all I'm saying to you is sometimes people face financial adversity. But it's going to come. And it's opposition. It's an event that's going to oppose your desires and oppose your success. So sometimes you're going to find your day of adversity to be a family adversity. Sometimes it's going to be a financial adversity. May I say number three, sometimes it's going to be a fleshly adversity. Sometimes it's going to be people who make a false accusation against you. Sometimes it's going to be when people gossip about you and say all manner of evil things about you that's not true. Sometimes fleshly adversity is going to come. Sometimes people are going to criticize you. Maybe even gossip or makes false accusations or criticism may come from the brethren inside the church. And sometimes that hurts even worse because that's people supposed to be your friends. That's people that's supposed to be people that love you. That's supposed to be people that said that they prayed for you and you heard them call your name out in a prayer meeting one time. Next thing you know, they got you by the nape of the neck and got a knife up to your throat. You see, sometimes adversity is going to come with fleshly adversities. How are you going to respond? If you fail in the day of that adversity, your strength is small. That means you fudged on the strength and conditioning program. You say, boy alive, how can I handle it? The Bible said you can do it. I'm going to show you where it says you can do it here. And there is a program to be. And then may I give you a fourth thing, and that's what I call frustrated adversity. These are areas that are self-inflicted. These are adversities that come through bad decisions because you didn't go get counsel from the preacher. Amen! Isn't that good? You see, we got it all figured out, don't we? And because we don't go get a counsel from the preacher, we make all these decisions, and all of a sudden, man, we're in a day of adversity. If we'd have just gotten counsel, we may not have been there. You see, bad decisions, these are self-inflicted adversities. So bad decisions seem to come in the frustrated form of adversity. How about besetting sins? That sin's got a noose around your neck, and every time you try to get away from it, it strings you back up and throws rope on the tree and starts pulling you up, and you're like, that's called a besetting sin. Now, the thing about it, you say, boy, I got away from that. Be careful, because he's got another noose for you. Yeah, he's waiting for you again. You see, those are frustrating adversities, bad decisions, besetting sins. How about laziness? Amen. Laziness. Knowing that we ought to have to do some things and we don't do it. Knowing that, hey, you know what? We ought to be out telling people about Christ. We just don't do it. You see, those are frustrating adversities. Those are things that we know that we're supposed to be doing, but we don't do them. How about procrastination? Putting off and putting off things that we know that we ought to do right now. We put them off and put them off. I found something out about procrastination. It always seems to cost you more. Always seems to cost you more. The more you put it off, it seems the further. Oh, I'm going to get that. I'm going to buy that. I'm going to buy that on sale. I'm going to get that. Well, what day is it? Oh, it's off sale now. It's $50 more. It's always going to cost you. But those are frustrated adversities. Now, I want you to listen very carefully, church. And that is this.
God has His own strength and conditioning program available for every believer. Do you remember a while ago I told you the team provides the means, the coach, and the facilities? Can I say to you that God also provides the means, the coach, and the facilities? I want to show you where the means are. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 119, if you would please, and verse 28. Psalm 119 and verse number 28. God provides the means for the strength and conditioning program. Psalm 119, verse number 28. Now notice what it says. Psalm 119, verse 28. It says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." It kind of sounds like maybe there might be some adversity there. Sounds like there may be some opposition to success or desires. The psalmist says, "My soul melteth for heaviness." Now listen to what he says. "Strengthen thou me according unto thy," next word, "word." He says, "Strengthen me according to thy," there's the means right there. The means I have in my hands. If I'm going to be successful in my day of adversity, the answer to standing in that day, I hold it in my hands. He said, I've got to draw strength from the Word. You stay out of the Word, all you're doing is you're hindering the strength and conditioning program. When you don't get up in the mornings or late in the evenings or whenever you have a time alone with God, it's the Word. That's the means. God provides the means for strength and conditioning. You don't have to turn there, but you can find in John 14, 26 and John 16, 13, He also provides the coach. Where's the coach? Oh, He came into you the day you got saved. Yeah, the day you got saved, He put strength and conditioning coach inside you. And you know what He's always saying? He's always preaching things. He's always telling you what you should and should not do. By the way, two words that God makes reference to the Holy Spirit. He says He teaches you and He guides you. That's what that strength and conditioning coach did to me in high school. He taught me and He guided me. He told me what to do and how to do it. You see, the coach God put in you Himself the day you got born again. And you know what He's doing? He's constantly teaching. He's constantly guiding according to the means, the Word. But then God not only provides the means and the coach, He provides the facilities. The facilities. Hebrews 10:25, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is." You know why we shouldn't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is? When you read the rest of that verse, we're supposed to be encouraging each other and uplifting each other as you see the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ approaching. Amen. You see, the problem we've got today is this. Who's willing to participate in the program? See, the means are there. The coach is there. The facilities are there. Who's going to participate? Nobody can make you participate. All we can do, all God says, hey, what else you want me to do? I've provided the means, the Word. I've provided your coach, the Holy Ghost of God. I've provided the facilities for you to come to be encouraged by the preaching, encouraged by the singing, and encourage one another. What else do you want me to do? I can't do it for you. You got to do it yourself. You see, the coach is there. He's preaching truth. But you got to participate. You got to follow through with the guidelines for the strength and conditioning program. You see, it takes nothing to quit, but it takes desire to be conditioned. You got to have desire. You got to want to. You got to want to be ready. Now, folks, again, let me remind you, it's not if your day of adversity is coming, it's when it's coming. It may be family. It may be financial. It may be in some other area that I've even mentioned, but you listen to me, your day is coming. You say, my day seems to be, Brother Todd, every day. Well, if that's the case, you know what? Then count it all joy that every day seems to be a day of adversity for you. Now, what is God's program for strength? What is God's program for conditioning in order to face my day of adversity? Take your Bible, if you would, now, And let's take a look at the first one, and that is Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6. Turn there if you would, it'll be familiar to you. Hebrews chapter 1, or 11 and verse number 6. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6. All right, everybody find your place there. Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 reads this way. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Did you notice it says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him, speaking of God? For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Do you know the first element of God's strength and conditioning program is faith? How many times do we see in the Bible, the just shall live by faith? How many times did Jesus tell His disciples, O ye of little faith? You know what He's saying? O ye of little strength. That's what He was saying. He said, O ye of little faith. You see, faith is that one element in the strength and conditioning program that most of us don't have. You see, in people that we find in Scripture that failed, Adam and Eve failed in their day of adversity in a perfect environment. You know why they failed? Because their strength was small. They failed in the area of faith. Why do you think that Israel wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? You know why they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years? Because their strength was small. No faith. Why do you think we have in Scripture recorded, why do you think Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times? Because his strength was small, lack of faith. Why do you think that Ananias and Sapphira died? You don't think that they believed God, that God could provide their needs? No, that's the reason they held some back, because of lack of faith. You see, all these people lacked in the strength and conditioning program laid down in the Bible, and the first foundational element's faith. Faith. The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. And yet, see, here we are in 2008 at Trinity Baptist Church, we want to see everything. Can I say something to Christian life? You're not going to see everything. You're just going to have to believe. You're just going to have to trust God. You're just going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. You see, that's a key element, see. God says if you're going to have strength in your day of adversity, you're going to have to be conditioned in this area of faith. Stay there in Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 7. Look at some people that did condition properly. Hebrews 11 and verse number 7, the Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Now, you're talking to an old boy that better had some faith. God said, build a boat. Huh? What's that? It's going to rain. What's that? And by the way, as far as I can tell, I don't even know if Noah even knew how to build a thing. But I tell you what he did do. He strengthened himself and conditioned himself. And when God said build an ark, you know what he did? He built an ark. You see, that's the reason in the day of his adversity when it started raining, his strength was not small. And that's the reason he got on the ark, the door shut, and you know what? And the rest of it's history, right? You know what happened? What happened was in his day of adversity, he listened to God because he had built the proper foundation. He had gone through the strength and conditioning program of God, and he had built on his faith. He trusted God. He didn't have to see the rain. He didn't have to see the ark. All he had to do was have a word from God. And by faith, he built that ark. Look down, if you would, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 36. Hebrews 11, verse number 36. The Bible said, in others, and we go through this whole list of people, characters from the Bible, and it says, in others, verse number 36, had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, and were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Kind of sounds like adversity, doesn't it? Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Did you notice that they received, that they obtained a good report through faith? You see, here we have people in Scripture that had the strength and conditioning program down. Because in their day of adversity, when they were putting logs, and they said, we're going to saw you in half. Well, get with it. Let's go. Because all you're going to do is just saw me in half. I won't be with Jesus by the time you get halfway through. You know, I think God gives people grace in their dying days and dying hours like that. I'm not even sure these people that were tied to the stake, I'm not even sure they even felt the flames. I'm not even sure these people that were sawn asunder even felt the saw. You know why? Because of their faith. You see, their strength and conditioning was proper, so in their day of adversity, they didn't recant. They didn't say, oh no, I'll recant the Bible. I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe the Bible. I'm not going to go back to church. I wonder how many of us today, if we were faced with this kind of adversity, I wonder how many of us, our strength would be small. You see, I'm just telling you tonight, church, that God has a strength and conditioning program, and one of the foundation factors is faith. Faith. And you know, one of the things the coach in you, the Holy Ghost of God, preaches, according to Galatians 5:22, one of his fruits is faith. That's one of his fruits that he produces in the believer. Now you may ask, okay, how do I obtain faith? I've had people ask me, said, I just don't know if I can trust God. Where do I get faith from? I'll tell you where you get faith. Write these three things down. Well, I don't have time to develop them. Just write them down. You can meditate on them later. Number one, accept the divine authority of God. Just accept who God is. He's God. That's all needs to be said. In the beginning, God. That's it. Just believe that. Just believe and accept the divine authority of God, that He is who He says He is, and He can do what He said He can do. Be done with it. My goodness, man, we'll cut the TV on. We'll believe everything CNN says. Oh, is that right? That scumbag! Don't have no facts whatsoever. It's just because this nut on CNN said it, we believe it. And yet God, we have a whole means for our strength and conditioning program and we question it. We're crazy. We've gone crazy. We got a God in heaven that's provided us a means to strength and condition ourselves for the day of adversity. And then some of us say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, just tear it out then. Just take your pen, scratch it out. When you get to the judgment seat, God's probably going to rapture your Bible. It says, now it says right here, brother so-and-so, that you didn't believe this. And I notice right here, chapter so-and-so, book so-and-so, verse, you got scratched out. You didn't believe that? You calling me a liar? No, in that day, boy, we believe it all now, don't we? You see, all I'm saying to you is faith. Faith is one of the elements of that strength and conditioning program. Just accept the divine authority of God. Number two, accept the position of divine truth. Just accept the position of divine truth. You know what? That's the reason I am what I am today as a Baptist, because, listen, the Bible says that once saved, always saved. Just accept the truth. It's the reason people, man, they get all nervous when you start talking about eternal security and once saved, always saved, man, they start getting chill bumps. Hair comes back on the back of their neck. You know why? Because they just won't believe the divine authority of truth. Well, I just can't believe that. Well, I'm sorry. You need to get your believer fixed or something, because that's what it says. Hey, go buy something at Walmart, pull the instructions out, and just interpret it like you want to interpret it and see if it goes together right. Hey, let's be consistent. Let's don't be hypocrites now. Right? If we're going to do this, let's be consistent and let's just use that everywhere we go. Just next time you buy something, just put it together the way you want to, interpret the instructions the way you want to, and let's see if it goes together right. Because if it don't, that's probably what's wrong with our life. Amen. Yeah, that's probably what's wrong with our life. That's probably the reason the day of adversity, you folded up tent and left. Why? Because we didn't accept the divine authority of God. didn't accept the divine position of God. And may I say, number three, accept the things that God has revealed.
My goodness, folks, if God's answered one prayer, you think He might reveal and answer another one? That's the reason it blows my mind, Brother Graf, how that the people of Israel, the children of Israel, can cross a Red Sea, split by the hand of God, and 3 days later they're griping and questioning God's authority. Isn't that crazy? You say, oh, I wouldn't do that.
Is that right? We all have done that, haven't we? Huh?
Sure. Man, remember the day you got saved and boy, you just bawled your eyes. Oh, thank God I'm saved. And boy, you were so excited and 3 days later you just questioned whether God could provide anything anymore.
Just accept the things that God has revealed. He's revealed truth. He's revealed the means. He's given you the coach. He's provided the... Just accept it.
What's so hard about that?
Just believe that God is who He says He is and stop rationalizing everything away. Let me give you the second thing. The second thing. Take your Bible, if you would, please. Philippians 4:4. Quickly. Philippians 4:4. Okay, the first element of our conditioning... strength and conditioning program is what? What was the first one? Faith. Everybody together, what was the first element? It's what?
Faith. Just believe God. That's where I draw my strength from.
Man, listen, you know what? I want some strength. I go back and read all the things God did in the Old Testament. Then I read what God did in the New Testament. I think, my goodness, I think I read somewhere in the Bible He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I bet He can do it again today. Bet He can do it again today. You say, man, you're too naive. Well, okay, whatever. All right? Philippians 4:4. Let's look at another element in our strength and conditioning program. The first element's faith. All right, Philippians 4:4. Look what it says here. Notice what it says, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says, and again I say, don't say it too fast now. He says, rejoice. He says you're going to have to do this thing not just on a weekly and monthly basis. You're going to have to do this thing on a daily basis. Nehemiah, remember, undertook the great rebuilding of the wall of Jerusalem after it was torn and burnt. He makes a statement in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse number 10, after all the opposition and the various things that he did, he finally got the wall built. He makes this one statement. He says this, "For the joy of the Lord is my strength." He said, "For the joy of the Lord is my strength." He said that joy, that passion that is excited by the expectation of something good is where I draw my strength from. See, that's one of our problems. We don't expect anything good. Yet God saved you and gave, the Bible says He's got a mansion waiting in your hand. That's good for me. Heaven's a good place. We don't live like it is. Man, we work all our life trying to keep from going there. We're nuts. Hey, I'm just telling you that joy is another element in the strength and conditioning program. Hey, folks, I'm going to get rewards someday, just like you are.
I'm going to get rewards. Can you believe that? Can you believe that little old us, that when we face the Almighty God at the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to be actually rewarded for my works? You know what that is? That creates joy. That creates strength for me. That creates conditioning for me. I'm going to receive rewards. Hey, when I give to church ministries and give to worldwide missions and give to this or give to a need of somebody's life in the church, you know what this is? I draw strength there because I feel joy. That's that passion that excites in me the expectation of something good. It's what it is. That's what joy is. That's part of the strength and conditioning program. It's what Nehemiah was talking about, how the joy of the Lord is His strength. He was drawing that. He was absorbing that from Almighty God. See, Paul says in Philippians 4:4 that we're to rejoice. 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 Do it again. Now listen very carefully, church. That's a daily process. And if you're going to rejoice, a couple of things you're going to have to keep in mind. Number one, if you're going to rejoice, you're going to have to refocus every day. Because you get out of focus from day to day, just like I do. So every morning, you know what you're going to do? You're going to have to refocus. You're going to have to refocus on what's important. Because you know what's important that day? It's what's going on that day. Because you know what? Tomorrow's only on fool's calendar. I got to be concerned about what's going on today. And so if I'm going to rejoice every day, I'm going to have to refocus every day. Wait a minute. Not only am I going to have to refocus, number two, I'm going to have to remember. I'm going to have to remember what God did for me. Did you get the definition of joy? That passion. Excited by the expectation of something good. You see, that's the reason that Paul said rejoice, 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 refocus, remember. Remember what? Remember what He's done for you. Remember that, hey, you got a home in heaven. Remember you got rewards in heaven. Remember you're going to spend eternity with God. You say, well, I already know I got all that. I thought you were talking about something new. Just remember. See, our problem is, folks, we don't refocus every day and we don't remember. And then may I say number three, if you're going to rejoice, not only you got to refocus, remember, you're going to have to release. Hey, release what? How about if we confess our sins? He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're going to have to release some things. See, that's the reason we let sin fester up in us. And we're like a big old blister, a big old pimple and stuff that's oozing. You need to pop that sucker. You know what? And let that thing run and release it. You know what? You're going to feel a whole lot better. Just release some things. We hold on to our little petty sins. If you're going to rejoice, you're going to have to refocus. You're going to have to remember. You're going to have to release. And then may I say number four, you're going to have to resist. Every day of your life, you're going to face temptation. Every day of your life, you're going to face sin, self, and Satan. You're going to have to resist some things. See, that rejoicing has to take place every day. But in order to do that, you're going to have to do some other things as well. You see, this is the majority of our problem in our Christian life because we've lost our excitement of the good that is awaiting us as a child of God. Just remember, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Faith, without it, the Bible says it's impossible to please Him. Let me give you a third element. Take Proverbs 8, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 8. Quickly, Proverbs chapter 8. All right, Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 14. Proverbs 8 and verse number 14. We find another element in the strength conditioning program given to us by God. He provides the means. The Bible said if we're going to be strengthened, we're going to be strengthened according to the Word. Notice, if you would, Proverbs 8 and verse number 14. All right, let's take a look at it. 8:14 reads this way, counsel is mine. Now you got to understand, in chapter 8, he's talking about wisdom, is speaking of himself. He said, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I, wisdom, am understanding. I have, what's the next word? Element number three, wisdom. Wisdom. That practice. Wisdom is just simply this, folks. Wisdom is putting to practice the things that you know and understand from Scripture. Just exercising that. You see, that's what the virtuous woman did in Proverbs chapter 31. She gathered wisdom. The Bible says she girded herself with strength in verse number 17. But he's talking about wisdom there because she bought a parcel of land and she was very frugal about her business. And I cast underneath wisdom here all of our personal devotion, our prayer life, our local church service, our giving, all of that is in there. Why? Because I know that to be truth from Scripture. And what wisdom is practicing what I know and I understand from Scripture. You see, wisdom becomes our counselor. Turn over, if you would, to Proverbs 24:5. Look at that for just a second. Proverbs 24:5. The Bible says, a wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth
strength. You see, wisdom becomes your counselor in your decision-making process. Because Proverbs 11:4 says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. Wisdom has to be part of the strength and conditioning. Where are you going to get it from? You're going to get it from the Bible. Where are you going to get joy from? You're going to get it from the Bible. And you're going to get it from God. Where are you going to get faith through Him? You're going to get it from the Word of God. He provides the means. He provides the coach, the Holy Ghost of God. And He provides the facilities for it to take place in. And let me give you one more and I'm done. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. Let me give you the fourth element quickly in the strength and conditioning program here of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. And this is a toughie, but it's part of the strengthening process, the conditioning process. 1 Peter 5, verse 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse number 10. The Bible says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have, here it is, suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, what's the next word? Strengthen. You say, Brother Todd, I just don't understand, how does suffering, how does experiencing pain or inconvenience, how does suffering build strength and build conditioning? Well, first of all, if you've never been in a day of adversity, what suffering does, it conditions your prayer life. Boy, I'm telling you, we're major prayers in a day of adversity, aren't we? Boy, when suffering comes, boy, we hit our knees, woo, just like that, man. I mean, we're on our knees, and we'll stay there as long as it takes during that day of adversity, during that time of suffering. What it does, it conditions your prayer life. Number two, it conditions your understanding of the Christian life. You know, I found in my day of suffering, I found out that I understand a little bit more how the devil operates. I find a little bit more that there's more to this than just what I can see. There's spiritual warfare going on. I understand in my day of suffering that Satan lays snares and tricks and various things waiting for me. And listen, I don't have to go looking for him. The Bible says he's looking for me. I don't have to go looking for him. But that suffering conditions our prayer life, and it also conditions and gives me a better understanding of the Christian life. It also conditions your endurance for hardness. Because folks, in your walk with God, there's going to come a day, it's going to be tough. And if you don't have the strength and the conditioning program down, if you don't build on faith, if you don't build on joy, if you don't build on wisdom, and you don't draw from suffering, in your day of adversity, you will fall. You cannot stand because the heat's going to be too much for you. The criticism's going to be too much. And whatever that adversity will be. You see, the ultimate result of proper conditioning is an unfailing love for Christ. Mark 12:30 says this, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the last part of that verse says, and with all thy strength. Now, how are you going to do that? Now, how are you going to love God with all your strength if you are not on the strength and conditioning program? If your faith is small, if your joy is small, if your wisdom is small, if in the day of suffering you tail and run, how are you going to be strong in that day? How can you and I do it if we bail out on the conditioning program? You see, God's strength is Savior and healer and provider, and as a source of blessing, is reflected through our strength and conditioning. Some of us were not prepared for what we were to face in our day of adversity. I'll be honest with you, you look at somebody, when my first day of adversity came, I wasn't prepared for it. You know why? Because I wasn't on the strength and conditioning program. But see, now after 20-some-odd years now of being saved and been through a few days of adversity, I'm looking for them now. And the thing about it is, they're going to come. Yeah, they're going to come. They may be family adversities. They may be financial. They may be fleshly. They may be a whatever adversity come. But I'm looking for them. I know they're going to come because they've come before. They're going to come again. And in my next day of adversity, if I fall, my strength is small. And see, because of improper conditioning or our lack of strength, or may I say that because of our improper conditioning, our lack of strength was revealed in the adversities of life. And folks, I'm here to tell you tonight, we better get on the program, because it's not going to get any better. If I understand the Scriptures, and I understand them well enough to understand that as the day approaches of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to get worse. And when the day of adversity comes for you as a member of Trinity Baptist Church, and maybe you're confronted with your worship, the training of your children, whether you have a Bible in your hand or whatever it may be, are you going to stand in that day of adversity, or is your strength going to be small? It's all going to be determined on whether you're on the strength and conditioning program of God. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. Let me ask you.